Today is my birthday, y'all. I'm turning 59. Okay.
Turn up.
Thank you, babe. So I'm turning 59, or as I like to call it, 55. There are a lot of thoughts percolating for me right now, mostly because I've seen a lot, done a lot, and I've lived through a lot of these past decades, and now I'm forging ahead into a new era of me. The truth of the matter is that I'm growing older, and there's a little excitement, a little bit of nerves, and I want to hash it all out today with my When Magic Happens family. So what's really the tea on aging? From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Cheryl Jackson here with Taylor Coward, and not one, but two guest hosts this week. We've got Aaron Allen, host of WBEZ's The Rundown podcast, in the studio.
So glad to be back with y'all.
Glad to have you. And we also have our magical producer, Brianna Garrett, on the mic today.
They shouldn't have put me on the mic. All right. I'm excited to be here.
I'm ready. We are ready for you, hon.
Not the evil laugh.
It's going down.
We've got some Gen Z, Zillennials, Millennials, and Gen Xers all up in this conversation. So I can't wait to hear you guys' take on aging. Even though Aaron over here is just as baby face as she can be. Cute, but baby face. They say age ain't nothing but a number. And today we're going to find out if it's true for us. All that and more after the break.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
So I want to hear everybody's ideas on aging. So tell me, when you were younger, what did you think about aging? Aaron, we're going to pick on you first.
Okay. This is what I remember. I was fortunate to have both my great grandmother and my great aunt and my great uncle, all of them were still alive. And they were at varying levels of ability in their minds and in their bodies. And I remember hoping that I would be more like the one that was most able, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And that was like the aging piece. But I don't think I could really even fathom getting that old. They were probably in their 80s.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you at the time?
My earliest memory, I don't know, probably I was in the single digits. Mm. I might have to ask somebody for a fact check.
Phone a friend.
Yeah, they were the greats.
Well, they were old and you were young.
They were closer to the three digits. And I was
ancient.
In the single digits. Yes.
There you go.
No concept. Go. Yeah, I think about, you know, I had some cousins who were 13 years older than me. And I remember looking at, you know, y'all, I was an only child. So I'm talking about other family members because I didn't have any siblings. And I remember looking up to them and always wanting to be their age. Mm. Mm. They were older than me enough to where they were outside of my own generation. And they were just dope. They looked cool. They talked like, I love their vernacular. I love their vocabularies. I would emulate them. I would always want to be around them. You know, they were teenagers. So.
Right. That made it extra cool.
So Aaron was fast.
Oh.
Aaron was trying to be fast. That's what it was.
Gave you the mic. You're right.
You were trying to be hilarious. In the streets with the cousins.
I was actually a very conservative young Christian girl. Thank you very much.
Okay, hallelujah.
I was shocked to hear that anybody that was not married had lost their virginity. I was holier than thou. Let me stop lying.
Wow.
I was.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You aren't wedded.
In single digits.
Oh, yes. Oh, we was at the church. It was a whole thing.
What about school? You know, when you're in school, like grade school, you know, middle school, high school, you think of your teachers as old. Is that true for anybody else?
Yeah. Oh, and like when the veil lifts that your kindergarten teacher was probably 25. Or I also didn't understand the concept of some people get gray hair before they're actually older in age. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I thought my grade school Latin teacher was like 1,000 years old because she had white hair. And
she was what, like 35?
I thought when I was in grade school that she was probably like 80. And so fast forward, I don't know, 20 years later, my mom calls me. She's like, you'll never guess who I ran into. And she tells me it's my Latin teacher. And I'm like, what? In this
she
era?
To be dead.
Yeah, like because her hair was super white. And as a kid, you're like, oh, then you're Father Time. You know, you're Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because age always seemed like this thing that was just so far away, like being older.
Yeah.
But it creeps up on you because in my head, I'm 20. I came into the pandemic like a fresh 20-year-old.
Oh. And now, you're what? You're 24 now?
Now I'm 24. And I'm like, where has time gone? Mm-hmm. And you hear mm-hmm. older people say that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then when you experience it, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't have grays yet, though.
It's funny how you talk about like a mental age, because I feel like mentally it's hard for me to differentiate between certain people that I met in my different times of life.
Right.
So when I was like in kindergarten, I had this teacher named Miss Tracy, and Miss Tracy, she was fabulous. She might have been like a late teenager, 19 at most.
Yeah, she was going by her first name.
Okay.
Miss Tracy.
Miss Tracy. All right. It's the late 90s, and Miss Tracy had us singing Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do with It. She's like, get your chords right. All right. Me, you're flat. But I remember that Miss Tracy was just like this figure to me. Mm-hmm. And so now I see her, and Miss Tracy might be, I still call her Miss Tracy, even at my big age, but Miss Tracy might be, I want to say 45 at oldest. And I still call her Miss Tracy. She's like, you know, girl, you can call me just Tracy. But because I met her at that time, and mentally I still feel like I'm that 6-year-old with her specifically,
right.
I'm like, I cannot, you know, differentiate. I can't call you anything differently.
Yeah.
You always gonna be Miss Tracy.
So it's sounding like age is really contextual and not just mm-hmm. an accumulation of time. It's just the benchmark. What are you benchmarking it against as to mm-hmm. whether you think someone is old or not?
For sure.
Yeah. You know, like we say, 55 is the new 29. Okay. You know, we're trying to contextualize it.
It's, right? It's broke. Benchmark it's 29 it. Is broke. I'm going to tell you that right now. Okay, let's not put you back.
But, right?
Like, you're talking about the new 29,
oh,
the new 26.
You don't want to be 29, not in post.
Wait.
Hold on, when you didn't have boundaries, when you
right.
had that full.
Not post-2020, you don't want to be 29.
Hold up, yeah. I ain't got there yet. Hold on.
No, but.
Well, you know, they say that, I was reading an article recently that we do that as a society, you know, saying 50 is the new 30 mm-hmm. or 30 is the new whatever. Because we're afraid of aging.
Mm, yep.
So let's talk about that.
Get into
the fear around aging.
Well, Cheryl, you're the one that's about to embark on this new year of you. So
yes.
I'm wondering, are there any fears, any trepidation now that you are 55? I mean, you were, you know, I don't know, 50 cake. Is that good for 58?
right. 50
but
cake.
Like,
that's cute.
There we go. But for 59 and for 55. Has your perspective changed on age? Did you have fear coming into this new year?
This is probably the first time that I am, it's weird to say having hesitation about aging because it means you're alive, okay? So
yeah.
being alive is a good thing.
Yeah.
On most days. So so I definitely.
Stay here,
so
Cheryl. Please.
Quick caveat.
So I definitely am not having hesitation around being alive, but this is the first time that I have been caught up in aging. Mm-hmm. And so because I'm looking at the 6 and the 0, I'm 12 months, 11 months and 29 days from the 6 and the 0. And for me, that's a big ass number. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, in my head, nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like my consciousness, I have more wisdom, more experiences under my belt, but I don't feel old.
Right.
When you say nothing has changed, nothing has changed since when? since 12 months ago or since 12
since
years ago?
Probably my 20s. I mean, I don't, I'm still me. The me in my 20s is the me today. It's a more mature, you know, more wise, more experiences under my belt, but I am me. The essence of who I am is here. Yeah, that hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. So if we want to talk about body, yada, yada, yada.
Come on, Cheryl the Stallion.
I'm going to make my 59 year all about the pre-prep, okay, for the 6 and the 0.
Okay.
So So when I slide into 6 and 0, I won't have that issue to deal with. Like, what is my body doing? I'm going to be fit and healthy and all the things. So I've got quite a New Year's resolution around my health and my body. But, you know, the body is different. So
yeah, let's talk about the body because one thing that comes up for me, you know, especially when you talk about wisdom. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, okay, growing up, you know, especially as a cis femme girl, you're told what your body should look like, right? It should be fit, or it should be thin, or it should be small, it should be slight, dainty, you know, all these things. Mm-hmm. And I always think, like, you know, right now I'm more active than I was in my teenage years.
Okay.
But my body is firmer, but also wider and bigger than it was in my teenage years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try to do all this work about, you know, not thinking about it that way and, you know, trying to focus more on how I feel. And upon reflection, very recently, something that came to me was that what's really most important is being in touch with your body and understanding and knowing how you feel in your body and listening to your body. And it's those messages from inside that you should be paying attention to, not the ones from the outside, right? And so,
amen.
If my body is telling me I'm feeling too soft, I'm not strong enough to lift the things that I want to lift, to walk the distances that I want to walk, to hold the people that I love, then maybe there's something I need to change.
Right.
That is like why, Cheryl, I know you and I are similar in that we have changed our lives a few times, right? Changed careers. And it is surprising to hear you say that you still feel that through line of yourself. For me, I feel like I'm way different. But I'll also say to that like along with that time to change comes all this wisdom, right? And it changes the way that you think about yourself, including about how you age.
And the body and age is so, I don't even know if we as women would even care about aging if our bodies weren't always under attack and monitored for aging. And so for me, skin is a huge thing. Wrinkles and fine lines and marks. And it always is a critique, and it is always something that I feel society monitors and makes aging even a concern sometimes. And so,
and youth a commodity.
Yeah, because it's like, ooh, bouncy skin. But even in youth, you're 9, people are warning you about turning 13 because then you're going to have acne.
Yeah.
And so it's like every age presents this new skin issue that's going to be bad for you. Mm-hmm. And why is there even a word adult acne? It's like, oh, look at you continuing on into adulthood.
You still got acne.
And so it's just like,
not oil still getting your pores.
Right. Not sebum. And I just feel like it you internalize all that. And it's like, how many retinol commercials do I need to be attacked by today while I'm trying to watch TV? Yeah. And so I'm trying to, like you were saying, listen to my body and know what I need to change. One of the things I'm mentally making a shift with is just not concerning myself. Like, if I personally don't like how something looks, then I'll act on it. But I'm not going to do retinol right now because I know that that's what people want me to do. Like, I was told by my dermatologist to start using retinol. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you'll thank yourself in 15 years. And I was
black?
Like, yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, you know, I don't want to do that. Like, I wash my face. I take my makeup off. I'm going to leave it there. But, like, I'm doing this thing just to stave off aging. And the purpose of me even doing this thing is, like, it's not beyond looking older.
Yeah. And you're like, do I even value not looking older in the first place? Yeah.
And I think you're seeing it now when people put on the age filter. Like, some people literally recoil and, like, flip their phone around and I was like, oh my God, I look like my mom. Like, I was like, one day I'm going to look like just like my mom.
Yeah.
But I saw some people were like, get
and
that.
Your mom is beautiful.
Exactly. I love my mom.
What a privilege. You
yeah,
know?
Like, mm-hmm. I am so excited to look like my mom. And I was happy that mentally I have gotten to that place mm-hmm. rather than when some, like, I think Kim Kardashian, North was playing with the filter and put it on her face. And she literally, like, pushed the phone away. And was like, oh my God, stop. Don't do that. And we can't have people making it seem like aging is the worst thing that could ever happen to you. Like, it honestly is a privilege. And it's going to take, like, a cultural and it's going to take a cultural mental shift. Like, we all have to kind of do it collectively.
And I think it's so interesting that it's like you're kind of pre-priming your brain and your body to mm-hmm. understand that this is a natural thing.
Yeah.
You know, because, Taylor, you said this year you're getting your frontal lobe fully developed.
I'm almost done.
All right. In April, Taylor is about to be done, fully baked. Okay.
Cooked frontal lobe.
Cooked frontal lobe.
Yes.
But it's so inspiring to hear, like, somebody of Taylor's generation and then even of my own generation, people that are already thinking about aging as something not to be ashamed of. And so I think we've had a certain privilege to think about it that way.
Right.
So for you, Cheryl, who, again, has been here just a little bit longer than us, all right, 55, how have you been able to deal with age through the ages? How have you been able to age as gracefully as possible and also give yourself grace as you age?
That's a good question, particularly the grace question. I've always struggled with giving myself grace, so yet I have another thing to add to my list of why I need grace. It's society, you know, that, you know, frames it for you in many ways. So you have to resist societal norms or societal pressures. And with age, they begin to limit what you're able to do. Mm. Is it too late to start something new or reinvent yourself? Or seemingly a lot of things become off, are taken off the table as you age. Something in me, every time I hear, you know, one of my friends saying they're retiring or they have retired or they want to retire, I just get sad. I don't know why that is. I guess maybe I'm not fully reconciled with my age and where I am in life. I don't know if I'll ever fully retire. I don't know if that's for me, but I don't have children to help me mark time, but there is society that's marking it for you. And that's what you have to sort of fight against.
Right.
My body may be aging, but my mind is not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the sense of some sort of degradation or, you know, deterioration. It's not that at all.
Or your, like, mental ability to do the things you were doing when you were 20. Like you just said, I don't feel like I want to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I feel like I'm hearing more people not retiring and continuing to do what they want to do just because they still can. And I think there was a pressure to retire because you were told that that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also said, like, sometimes things are taken away from you because of your mm-hmm. age. And I remember listening to Nicole Byer's podcast, mm-hmm. and she was talking about how she didn't publicly say her age for a long time. Because she was like, I can appear much younger than I am. I can appear much older than I am. But if I put that number on a piece of paper, a casting director is going to make that decision for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so that limits opportunity.
Wow, yeah.
And we shouldn't have that fear that things are taken away from us, especially career-wise, just because of how old we are or how young mm-hmm. we are. Because I
That's
feel
true.
Like I'm looked at a lot of times like, well, how is she getting to do this thing at this age? And I've had that said to me verbatim.
Mm.
And what are your qualifications? And just because I'm young, you know?
God qualified me.
Amen.
Oh, hello.
Amen.
Preach
Stand
it.
On it.
Well, okay, let me bring forth this because when I knew we were going to be talking about this phrase came immediately to mind. Youth is wasted on the young. How does that land for y'all?
Oh, my God.
You know when people complain about, like, their back hurting?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people my age take into consideration like how real that is. Like, like enjoy it while you can. Yes. And like, because I think when you're younger, all you want to do is be older. And when you're older, all you want to do is be younger. Mm-hmm. And so I was super excited when I was 18. I was like, one day I'm going to be able to go to a bar and da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And then that came and we were in a pandemic. And so now I'm like, oh, I don't want to be in this time and place right now. So if I were 18 and just enjoying being 18 and all the things that come with youth, mm-hmm. I think that's what it means by being wasted. We kind of just like don't enjoy it for what it is at the time, and we're craving the things that come with being older, mm-hmm. and we just let this time of low back pain and your joints working and you can stay up late and drink a lot.
Carelessness.
Yeah.
I could be like, I don't need a bed. I could be like that, Aaron, be like in a futon.
Aaron.
Let me tell you what, with what I know now, my wisdom, information, you know, mm-hmm. experience, mm-hmm. and to have the energy and the body, mm-hmm. eat what I want to eat, okay? Ooh. Not have to worry about it at all. That, like, would be, I think that's what that phrase meant. Mm. Like, if I had that body, I know what to do with it. Or ooh. If I had that.
Cheryl. I'm trying to tell you. Up and down the streets in your hot pants.
Not okay. Cheryl of the cloth.
Put me in a, put me in a 10 years what. Ago body, okay?
Oh, my gosh. But you know
let
what?
Me tell you what. Yeah. Don't let me get fined this summer. Everybody going to see that, okay? Everybody.
Not that youth equates to fine, yeah. But we get what you're saying.
Because you're already like 50-50 fine.
But finer.
So to your point about these markers of like youth and markers of life that you guys were saying, I think mm-hmm. that when we start to hold people to like some type of accountability for whatever age marker they're at, we like rob them of their humanity. We don't let people mm-hmm. be and let them yes. go anymore. When we say by a certain age, you have to do this, by this age, mm-hmm. you got to be this. If we silo, you know, all of our finest years and our sexy years to our fleeting youth, if you will, but whatever, our teenage years or our 20s, then who are we saying about the people that we are in our 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s? You might be sexier than ever at 75. Yeah, you might need a more supportive bra, but oh my gosh, those things will still be thanging, all right? I'm just saying, I think that's something important to think about, these markers of time and how we as humans should be allowed to reinvent ourselves over and over. So when you say things like, oh, youth is wasted on the youth, is that what he says?
Youth is wasted on the young.
Youth is wasted on the young. I think that the young need to stop worrying about getting older right. and about meeting certain benchmarks for themselves. Like, I need to have my LLC and my 401k needs to be super maxed out. And what's my high yield looking like, et cetera. I think they need to stop with that. But just again, to that point, youth being wasted on the young. No, youth is a forever thing. Ooh, that sounds so woo-woo. But BTS, BTS used to say something like forever young or whatever, like young, we're young forever. And I love that little K-pop group. Shout out them. But there, I think that's really true. Youth is what we make it. It's perpetual. It's in the mind, as you said. And I think, mm-hmm. again, back to my woo-woo era, it's spirit. Spirit is the thing yes. that sustains us throughout our lives. Our spirits yes. are going to be us yes. always.
Like young at always. Heart.
Exactly. Young yeah. at heart. You know, though your heart and flesh may fail you, hey, okay?
Come on.
Your spirit is still there, so.
Preach.
And now I'm going to sing spirit.
That's right.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of, like, be present.
Be present.
You
know,
yeah. focus yes. on what you are doing right now, who you yes. are yeah. right now.
Because you might not like this thing that you think that you want, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And do you remember the strife? Of being young, also.
You okay. were struggling. You ooh, didn't know who you wanted to be.
The struggle, okay. Yeah.
Identity crisis every 5 seconds.
Yeah. Well, and I think I'll say what that phrase means to me. It is physical in a lot of ways, but it's also, I mean, like I said earlier, it's like the kind of you don't realize what you're getting yourself into when you get into some shit.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
Rise and Shy. WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.
There's a fearlessness, there's a carelessness, there's a, you know, there are all these non-physical, like metaphysical things that, mm-hmm. that come with being young. Mm-hmm. You know, Tupac talked about having energy, this energy mm-hmm. that when you're young, the young people are out here, you know, they're going to go out in the streets, you know, and do the protesting. I mean, look at, I mean, there's Fred Hampton, there's Tupac, there's mm-hmm. Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. You know, these people mm-hmm. were early in their lives, mm-hmm. you know, when they were out here making sacrifices and doing life-threatening activities. Mm-hmm. And I think about, what if I still had that carelessness, that fearlessness mm-hmm. also, you know, with the mm-hmm. wisdom, mm-hmm. both.
Yes.
You know, what
yes.
type of superhuman could I be?
You'd be too powerful. Right. That's why I didn't have it.
And that's why, look, right? That's why you can't have both.
Yeah.
The combination of mm-hmm. wisdom, resources,
woo.
And fearlessness. Oh, I mean, you could change the world. Yeah, when you get more, you get more. When you have more, you then become more cautious because mm-hmm. you don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose it.
Wow.
And one of the perks of being young is, you know,
okay.
you don't have much to lose. So what you're rich in risk taking, your ability to take risk.
Or if you do, you're young, you can get it back. You got time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You have time, it's on your side. So yeah, it's interesting. But what do you all think are the perks of growing older?
Cheryl, we need to know, like, put us on game. What are the perks? You know the answer.
Okay. Let me tell you what the perks are. Listen, when I turned 50 in my 50s and late 40s, there's a certain confidence in who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You not only know what you're not going to do, okay? You ain't okay. going to do it, all right?
It won't be me.
And you're right. It's not me. That's not my ministry. I'm not doing this, all right? I'm not doing
that.
Not
the one or the two. Okay. That's my favorite.
Or the three, okay? Okay. So that anchor is, you know, you're not sort of adrift and wandering and in the wind. You're anchored in a sense of yourself mm-hmm. and knowing yourself and being, I tell you what, being fearless about being yourself. That's what comes with it, age. Fearlessness about being who you are.
I feel like I hear across the board, like, people into their 30s and beyond, they're like, I just don't care about what other people think anymore. Mm. Maybe that comes with the frontal lobe cooking up, who's to say.
Uh-oh.
But I do think that, I don't know, you've been here, you've been, like the phrase, you've been around the block. Like, I've seen it,
yes.
I've done it. And I think that is something to look forward to. And it's inspirational to hear these types of things. Like, you didn't say, ugh, well, this thing happened, and it's hard to get shoes on, and da-da-da-da-da. Because I feel like your generation, Cheryl, and beyond is much more graceful with aging. Like, talking to my grandfather and my grandmother, mm-hmm. it's the worst thing that's ever been invented, if you ask them about it.
Oh, okay.
And they were born in the 30s. And so...
Yes.
What generation is that? Because that's beyond
silent,
baby boomers.
I think. And they're the traditionalist as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so they both were very active people. And I think they just... They are in that era of, like, when you age, you just sit and you wait to die.
Yes.
They're not the old people you see on TV that are, like, joining clubs and, like, taking up swim and things like that. And so I'm fortunate that we're moving beyond that so people can enjoy their lives. That's why I think the Golden Girls was revolutionary, because it was these women in another phase of their life mm-hmm. that are dating.
Blanchard and was out there
like having relationships mm-hmm. and breaking up with people, getting new jobs, mm-hmm. getting a house all together as these older women. And I think that was new. Like,
yeah.
I think that's what made it kind of a shocker, is that these women are out and like yeah. going out to clubs at 60. And so I'm fortunate for that shift, because I don't want to get to an age where I'm just sitting and waiting to go.
Hmm.
Not saying that's what my grandparents do, but they definitely lament and think of their younger years and view those more favorably than today. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is like of that generation. Yeah. I think that
I deserve this.
When you get to a certain age, you're like, you can't tell me what to do. Like I asked my grandpa, I was like, hey, how about a haircut? I was like, what's up with the ponytail? And he was like,
I was rocking these before you were born.
No, he said, I'm 82.
Oh.
Period. I said, all right. Then he said, I can do what I want. I was like, you're right.
Yeah. How do you maintain your spry attitude? Is it through intergenerational friendships like that of When Magic Happens / our wonderful Aaron Allen here? Or is it like a mentality thing? Do you have advice for somebody who is similar in age and is trying to figure out how they can continue to be themselves and also grow at the same time?
I think I'm going to share the advice that my mother shared with me that I use.
Miss Ernestine's got it.
Miss Ernestine's got it. First of all, she says age is but a number.
Period.
You live until you die.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Ooh.
You live until you die. Yes. So live. And keep a project in front of you. And so I love that. When you keep a project, when you're working on something, working towards something, that's creation. You're creating something. Gosh. And if you've got a project and you're working on it and it's relevant, you're going to be interacting with different kinds of people, different ages. Mm-hmm. And my mother, she just completed, she's 85. She'll be 86 a week after me. Mm-hmm. And she just completed her latest oratorio and is being premiered by the National Civil Rights Museum and in the symphony. She just keeps writing new projects in front of her. And she's working on a new one. And I think that keeps you really young because I think always be in the process of creating. And you don't have to be an artist to create. Mm-hmm. You can work on a community project, something that uplifts your community. I was reading a story of in the newspaper, a local paper in Memphis, where this woman, she's 93, and she is the rock of her neighborhood, her community. And she takes care of people. She's interested in people. She's a part of their lives. She checks on their children. This woman has a rich life of people in her life at all ages. And she depends on them. They depend on her. But she's contributing. She's creating and working on things. And I think that's the secret, is to keep a vision in front of you and work on that vision.
I love that.
I do too.
And
live until you die. Live until you die.
And just being like, staying busy, keeping a thing going.
What's your perspective on living your life and regrets?
I think I wish that when I was younger, somebody was more of an example or showed me examples of people that I identified with that were living life and thriving. Mm-hmm. I was a visual artist as a kid. I used to draw every day to the point where I don't have many of my drawings because I would throw them away because I was about to draw something else in the next 2 hours. Mm. And I didn't know that I could be an illustrator or a graphic designer or a painter. You know, like I knew that there were painters and I knew that like I watched illustrated television and movies, but I didn't understand that that was a way that I could
career.
Exactly. And I've come around and here I am in this creative space now and in this media space. And I am really proud that I've brought myself back to here. But I do wish that I had gotten here sooner, earlier in age. And I wish I never left. So I don't know if that's my fault or not to regret. But that is something that I do think about. And
I'm about to cry over here, Erin. That is so beautiful.
Yeah, something I think about a lot. And then my hope would be that I just maintain the wonder. You know, I think about when I first moved to Chicago 15 years ago. I left and I just moved back a little less than 18 months ago. And now I'm like, you know, I've been around the world. I know what's up. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to move back to Chicago and do my thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't have as much wonder as I had that first time I came here. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to finding that again.
Yeah.
And that's something that I hope to really maintain about life in general.
Yeah.
Mm, beautiful.
I love that. For me, every year I do this very spiritual and intimate practice of faith, like right before I turn my next year. And I mean, recently I've been going on trips, but I like to reflect on the years past, what I've done, the things that I've felt, and who I feel like I am in that moment. But my biggest regret is really when I was in fifth grade and I ain't stumped this one girl out when the way she deserved to be stumped out. She needed to be stumped out, because I promise you, she walking around these streets a little too cocky these days.
But you found her recently. You're like, oh, she out here needs still to need to get stumped.
No. We don't condone violence, for real. But I think I do my best not to have regrets by making sure that each year, as I get a year older, that I'm just doper than the year before. If I said, okay, this year I'm going to learn Arabic, gosh darn, I'm a freaking learn Arabic. Sabah khair. Okay?
All right.
Go ahead,
and
girl.
I'm going to do my best in every year of me. That way I don't have regrets and think, oh, all of my best years were behind me, or it was siloed to my youth again, you mm-hmm. know, that I stopped growing and that I didn't allow myself to become. When I see people like Michelle Obama, when I see people like a Tabitha Brown, when I see, you know, even a Cheryl Jackson, you know, people that have gone from different careers and changed that up. People have gone from different relationships and changed that up. People that have, you know, tried different hairstyles. I hope you bought a pair of jeans, Cheryl, this year. That is one of my hopes for you in your new year.
She doesn't own any jeans.
Cheryl, please get some jeans, okay? but when I see women like that, it inspires me that I don't necessarily need to regret my past. I can accept it. I can thank it. I can thank the past me. And then I can be present and then just work on my future. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't say I don't have regrets, because Keisha deserved to be stomped. But I am really excited about the future that I'm making, so that I don't regret, oh gosh, why didn't I try? Why didn't I do? And why didn't I become?
Well, in terms of aging and age-related regrets, mm-hmm. I kind of wish that I, kind of like what Aaron said, that I continue to be the person that I was when I was younger. The girl that, like, loved to read and was quirky and not afraid of it. And so now I'm trying to get back to that and get back to myself and who I know I actually am. Because I think when you get through high school, middle school, and those years where you are very hyper-focused on how people perceive you, you lose that completely. And, well, I personally lost that of who I actually am. Mm-hmm. And so I've been spending the past maybe like 2 years trying to get back to her. Yeah. And so
someone say reclaiming your time?
My time.
Okay.
And so I just, that's a regret of mine, a regret of just not staying who I was, but I'm proud and hopeful that I'm becoming who I'm supposed to be. I got to be me. And I lost sight of me. And I regret that, but I can turn it around now.
Because late in the midnight hour. Hey!
Ooh,
my God.
Go turn it around.
Come on.
Go on, turn it around.
Zealot
Aaron. Turn it around now. Well, we got some church girls up in here.
Anointed.
No, what about our favorite church girl? What about you, Cheryl?
Wow. I've been sitting with this for a while now, just because turning a birthday and the number that I'm turning. There are many mistakes I've made that I would do differently. And I see that as different from a regret. But the mistakes I've made have been oftentimes a result of taking chances and risks, and it didn't work out. So I don't regret that. I just wished I, you know, would have done things differently. But if I were to say I regret not coming to love myself and see myself as precious earlier, sooner. I think that's my only regret. But I think if my life had a purpose, one of the reasons why I'm in this life was to find that woman that loves herself and sees herself as precious. If nobody else sees me as precious, I'm gonna see me as precious. And, you know, the gift of aging is that
You care less what other people think, and it helps you to live more boldly and more freely. So I'm excited about this new chapter. Yes. I'm finna cut up, y'all.
Cut up. Cut up.
I love that. Happy birthday, Cheryl.
Happy birthday, Cheryl.
Thank you. Thank you.
One time for the birthday, Cheryl. Two times for the birthday, Cheryl. Three times for the birthday, Cheryl. Mess it up, it's your birthday, Cheryl. Mess it up, it's your birthday, Cheryl. Get it, Cheryl. Get it.
Cheryl's.
I need to record that. We are recording that. Okay, that was good. That was good. That was good right there. You know I'm popping champagne. You know I'm popping champagne. Oh, popping bottles over here.
Okay, send me one. I need it. All right.
And that's a wrap for today's birthday episode. If you liked what you heard, subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. And follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast. You can find me, Cheryl Jackson, on social media at Cheryl Jackson. That's Cheryl with an E.
You can find me, Taylor Coward, on Instagram at Taylor Coward Online.
And you can find me, Erin Allen, on Instagram at erinallen.show. And you can find the Rundown podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can find me, Brianna Garrett, on Instagram at Project Reality. That's Project B, the word reality.
When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago and part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Brendan Banasek is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is chief content officer, engineering by Ethan Schwab and Maria Lopez. See y'all next week.
Woo. Happy birthday, Erin.
Erin? Woo. Oh, it's your birthday.
It's right. Happy birthday, girl. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Happy belated birthday.
Yes.